Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Again, a quick thank you to Brock DeMint, Bill Carpenter, and of course, John Allen from the JFK Hyannis Museum for being our guest. Coming up after we speak with Holly Robichaud, we have not only Dr. Kate Roberts, but Stacey Shanahan, so stay tuned for that. But joining us is Holly Robichaud. You know her from her work, not only her blog with the Boston Herald, but she is one of the main people for the Tank the Gas Tax initiative that won a Polly.
Yep.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, woo.
Hey, saved you guys $2 billion.
Save Joe. He does all. He's got an 8-cylinder.
Yes, actually, I still do.
He still has an 8-cylinder. So, if anybody you saved, it was Joe. But yeah. I thank you as well. It was, yeah. You know what? If you're going to put if you're going to initiate a tax, it should be something that you vote on. It should not be something that automatically triggers.
Yeah, that it automatically goes up year after year with no oversight. So, and especially with, you know, you look at since Governor Baker has taken over, they found that, you know, they're complaining, oh, the T's woefully inadequately funded, and it turns out
they weren't spending the money they had.
They had $2 billion, yeah. So, and then, you know, we have the real deal reports coming on. Starting today. Yes, and Jeff is talking about, you know, all the waste, fraud, and abuse within transportation and some other agencies that needs more oversight. It's not a lack of money. It's a lack of accountability, a lack of, you know, wanting to make sure that our tax dollars are appropriately used. And you know, the taxpayers are hardworking, so they deserve some accountability.
I guess I would. Now, I got to say a little funny thing here is I can't do it every week. I wish, Joe, you did it more. Joe's not a big guy on social media, and I try to promote who I have coming on. And I put it up that you were going to be doing the Beacon Hill report. People are like, you can't spell. It's Beacon Hill. I go, no, it's not a misspelling. And it's, you have to know the person who's coming on, because this isn't the first time. When you do something called the Beacon Hill report, why do you call it that?
Because, I mean, it seems like most people up there at the State House are more into it for what they get out of it than, you know, our state government should work for us, not us work for the state government. Right. And so it became, you know, obviously we're watching Beacon Hill, but, you know, it seemed more appropriate to call it Beacon
Hill with all the pork.
And we did a Beacon Hill Night of Crime, and we had put out last week, and we called it,
yeah, Howie Carr.
Yes, and we put out the email on that, and so many people wrote in, you spelled Beacon wrong, you know, right? And I'm like, no.
No, you're not getting it.
Yeah. So you gotta have some laughs with it and stuff. So
what's the latest that's going on that you're observing, that your group, because actually the Tank the Gas Tax has been reborn. It's been rebirthed, right?
Right. We're now we've renamed our group the Massachusetts Taxpayers' Best Ally. And the MTBA, not the MBTA.
Ooh, kind of fun. How clever.
And you know, we're going to be taking a look at some fiscal issues and transparency issues, making sure that the State House is accountable for the people. I mean, most people right now don't know that there is a war going on between Speaker DeLeo and Stan Rosenberg. Today is day 121 in this fight, in which Stan Rosenberg, the Senate president, wants there to be, you know, bills for senators to have more input on getting bills out of committee. Speaker DeLeo says, I want to control it all. And so they're at war on this. And so basically nothing is getting done up there at the State House. The Massachusetts House of Representatives, I think, has been in session maybe all of 7 days this year, and it's June. I mean, last week they held a full formal session so they could take a class picture. I mean, what is this?
Oh, my.
Kindergarten? I mean, yeah. This is the stuff, you know, and we're paying them full-time salaries, and they're not getting their job done. They're not doing the accountability we deserve. Everybody wants to turn a blind eye to what's going on, and it's you know, and this is how we, you know, people wonder how, you know, we spend $675,000 per mile on maintenance on roads each year. That's ridiculous. It's four times the national average.
What is the? Do you know the national average off the top of your head?
It's about $140,000.
Okay, I knew you'd know that.
Yeah, so. And that's what New Hampshire pays. I mean, and you know, but we're you know, we have a sales tax, we have an income tax, we have it all, and we're you know.
Ding 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 ding. She said the magic word: income tax. Yeah. Well, how do you? How does your group feel in regards to what the Senate's looking to do? I know everything's in conference committee right now, but the Senate is trying to freeze the income tax roll back. They don't want it to roll back. They want to keep it at 5.15% and go from there.
Well, obviously a promise means nothing to anybody up there at the State House. I also think it's part of... I think what the Senate did is more of a part between the showdown between the Senate president and the speaker about the committee fight. I think that's more about what it was because last Friday there was, you know, people had a chance to file an amicus brief whether the Senate budget is a money bill or not a money bill, and it's a whole big debate up there. And it's because there's a battle going on between Stan Rosenberg and Speaker Bob DeLeo, and nobody's talking about it. The Democrats are fighting among themselves, not getting anything done. Okay, and they're using our taxpayer dollars to hurt us because they're, you know, they're getting paid, but they're not doing their jobs.
You know, one of the things I'm, as someone who follows politics, kind of fascinated with is the relationship that the Democrats, the Senate and the House separately, are working with the governor. I think it's something unique, or at least it has been up to this point, where it at least seems on the surface that things are at least moving through in the realm of up to the governor and back. It seems like there's at least a conversation going where you have two heavyweight Democrat House and Senate and a Republican governor. How have you seen that relationship working so far? Not as all, you know, happy and cheerful?
Well,
or?
I mean, you've got Governor Baker, you know, got the retirement thing passed, but it only has a very short window period of, like, so you can come off and go back on, you know, right away as a consultant. So, I mean, there's some things that they've gotten done. Obviously, the budget deficit, they got that done right away. But, you know, tackling some of the other problems, they're really not doing anything. Governor Baker did not get rid of that film tax credit in there. And so now we've got, you know, the Senate raising taxes to give us, you know, the earned income tax increase. And then also, you know, stopping rolling back the income tax back to 5% that was promised to us. So I think right overall it looks rosy, but I think we're heading towards a real loggerhead of some debates of coming up. So
any follow-up to that, Joe?
No, I think that's good.
What else are you looking at and you're observing and that you have in your report this week?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are, I have to say, very concerned about the local representative here in Marshfield and Scituate, his brother-in-law being, you know, found by the IGs to inappropriately use $29,000, and that his brother is the treasurer of the Marshfield Housing Authority, and yet nobody's been charged with a crime here. I mean, Kevin, if that was you with $29,000,
you'd be hauling me away.
That's right, in handcuffs. And so people are wondering how this whole thing happens, and then we find out the Inspector General requested Representative Cantwell to file legislation, and this is maybe why the Cantwell family got a slap on the wrist on this whole thing. But I would hope that the Attorney General would start to take a look at this. We've got a new Attorney General. Maybe she won't be as bad as Martha Coakley, and maybe she'll take a look at this thing.
What do you think it's, dude? Think it needs more media attention? I mean, what do you think needs to be done?
I think
done?
It needs more prosecutorial attention, to tell you the truth, because, I mean, if I took $29,000 away from the Housing Authority, which is taxpayer money, I think I would be locked
is
up
it,
by
is this
now.
Something that like, Tim Cruz should be looking into, or is this, or you really just feel that's with the AG?
Well, either I would think that Tim Cruz maybe at the Housing Authority level, I would think that the Attorney General should probably be looking into the conflict of interest that at the same time that the Cantwell family was being investigated, that Representative Cantwell was filing a legislation on behalf and passing for the Inspector General. That is a conflict of interest. And so I would hope that the Attorney General would take a look at this. We've had too many politicians up there at the State House get away with too many things for too long, and it's time to start holding them accountable. And I like that there's high standards, and I believe that there should be high standards, and you know, and that people shouldn't be mixing. You know, you've got Senator Joyce also up there mixing his client list with his constituents.
Yeah, there was something this session that we just passed a month or two that there was a question about his dealings with a client and how it played into this past budget session.
Right. I mean, he had filed an amendment. He ended up pulling back on that amendment, but it just...
Questioned.
Yeah. And it goes to the core of what I said in the beginning, is that, you know, look, when you're an elected official, you're supposed to work for the people, not think the people work for you. And when we've got these situations where we're getting all these kind of cover-ups or not being held to accountable, I think it goes to that people think we're supposed to work for the State House, and that's not the way it's supposed to go.
In the situation in Marshfield, I don't know too. It's funny. I'm from Marshfield. I haven't read too much about this, but I did read something about the IG in the bill filing.
Well, isn't that interesting? Some local papers haven't covered it.
Well, I haven't really looked into you know, the detail. I think there's probably more details that need to be brought out or at least looked at. But you know, one of the things I'd be interested to know is if the timelines that were, at least from what I understand, the timeline was supposed to have worked out so that the contributions were, or the bill that was filed for the IG was done at around the same time as the investigation. Is that what the story is?
Yep.
So I think it'd be just interesting to see what that looks like, you know, to have the whole timeline brought out, because I know there's a lot of moving parts to this investigation, as I understand it. I think there's another person that took the money, and then I know there was the treasurer was looking into, or the treasurer that was there who's related to the Canwell family, but then somebody else took the money, I think. I'm not exactly sure of those details.
It was his brother-in-law. It was Representative Cantwell's brother-in-law that inappropriately spent the $29,000, okay? The representative's brother is the treasurer of the housing authority that was supposed to oversee how that money is spent. And this is kind of all in the family, and it's not a good family story here. The punchline is that the taxpayers kind of got ripped off.
Is this something that you do a regular blog, I think the Lone Republican?
I write a column nowadays.
I'm
doing the column, yeah.
All right, so have you not featured this in your column to get more exposure?
I have not written about this. Matt Stout has written extensively about it, so I don't, you know, I don't like to step on people's toes.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. He's doing a great job.
And what he's doing in the polls and politics section is he doing kind of full on articles? And what was his for those who didn't have a chance to read either the hard copy or online? I mean, what was his conclusion?
He kind of broke the whole thing about the inspector general situation, that deal into it, because it was kind of weird about the whole thing, why it just said that the housing authority needed to do better bookkeeping, which was, that's kind of an odd way to put things.
Right.
And so then he kind of came up with the whole inspector general, that Representative Cantwell was filing legislation on behalf of the inspector general at the same time this whole thing was going on. So I think he's done a great job on the story.
Okay. Anything else, though? Any other stones that we haven't turned over while we've had you here? I think it's interesting you mentioned it. I didn't get a chance to comment on it, if I can digress for half a second. You were talking about the little war going on between DeLeo and Rosenberg. And while the individual hasn't been around for 7 months, does this kind of make you wonder how things were between Teresa Murray when she was Senate president and DeLeo, that this stuff was going on? Do you think that they had a good working relationship?
I think they had a fairly good relationship, but you can see... Senator Rosenberg, I don't agree with what he did in the budgets on the taxes, okay? But that's kind of an ideological difference.
Mm.
As far as him respecting the chamber and the process of democracy, I think he's spot on. He, you know, in which, you know, look, I'm a Republican, and for me to say that the Liberal Democrats doing right by the democracy side of things, that he, you know, during the budget... you know, he allowed all of these issues to be debated. He allowed roll calls on all of these issues. He only did a few consolidated amendments. So he opened up the process, and this is the fight that he's having with the speakers. He wants to open up the process. I think the more transparency you have up there, the better you're off. On the other side of the thing, on the House side, when they did the budget, I mean, there's 160 House members. There's 40 members in the Senate. Mm. The Senate had more roll call votes on the budget than the House side. That doesn't make any sense because, you know, there's more members.
Someone's controlling the traffic.
Right. And so what they did was they basically consolidated hundreds and hundreds of amendments into like 8 amendments. You know, I mean, you had transportation with the constitutional office. So all the amendments that were dealing with the constitutional officers and transportation were bulked into one. What, we couldn't even do a consolidated amendment on transportation? I mean, you know, I don't know. Might be a slight problem on transportation here in the state of Massachusetts, but we couldn't just do one amendment on that. Nope. We had to consolidate it into the constitutional officers' ones. You know, why are these amendments, you know, not taken up on an individual basis, being debated, seen in the sunlight? I mean, it's not like the House is overworked. I'm telling you, I think it was like a total of 7 days, and this is June, that they have been in full formal session. Right. That is pathetic. They could debate that budget for at least a week and really put some sunlight into the whole process, but they don't want that. They don't want input, and I think that the more that people know, the better off we're all going to be.
What are you watching for this final conference committee and their budget, of course, being the first under Charlie Baker? What are you watching for?
Well, it's going to be quite interesting. Last year, they took things out of the budget that were not supposed to be conferenceable. Mm. The conference committee is only supposed to consider differences between the House and Senate. Last year, they took out things that were in both budgets, which was not. So it'll be interesting to see, one, if they keep to what they are allowed or not allowed to do. Mm. Six people should not be negotiating the state budget behind closed doors.
Kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is kind of crazy. But, I mean, it's going to be a showdown over taxes. And I think that in order to get Senator Rosenberg to back off on his effort to raise taxes and to, you know, stop the rollback of the, you know, of the income tax, I think you're going to have to see that the Speaker is going to have to back down on the committee situation. So I think this is all a game of chicken.
Wait for someone to blink.
That's right, over those issues.
We are speaking with Holly Robichaud, columnist for the Boston Herald.
Yes.
And before I let you walk out of here,
yeah,
I got to let you at least talk nationally. We've got folks are already coming out of the woodwork announcing that they're going to, you know, their presidential bids. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I just want to say, as a Republican, I'm not here to officially announce for president. I mean, it's
not yet, anyways.
Right. I heard that former Governor Bob Ehrlich is thinking about announcing the Maryland.
It's like 75 people running on, at least on the Republican side.
Yeah, it is an amazing field. I have to say, as a Republican, it makes me proud that we have this many quality candidates out there. On the other hand, you've got just Hillary Clinton, and she is a retread. She's got a lot of issues. Bernie Sanders is, you know, at a straw poll the other day out in Wisconsin, got 41% against Hillary Clinton. That's pretty scary for the, you know, on the Democratic side. But it's an interesting thing. My biggest fear is, I would like to see as many candidates included in the debates as possible. I know they're limiting it to the top 10, but, you know, people pop to the top, and you don't want to peak too early, and you don't want to shut people out that don't have the money, and I like to see a little bit.
And you know, you've been run a number of successful campaigns.
On no money.
Yeah, on no money. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Pauly Award winner right here.
I mean, if they were doing it on money for the ballot question, we wouldn't have been allowed into the debates.
Right. I will ask you this, though. Being you're a member of the media, we're members of the media here. What's your thought of seeing the media, the national media, picking off candidates like it did 4 years ago? Do you fear that?
I do fear that, and you know, it's an interesting situation. I do see some media outlets giving everybody, trying to give them equal coverage. There's just so many of them. I mean, I think that's the biggest problem right now. There's just so many of them. Oof. And it'll be interesting to see the finance reports coming up in mid-July. So,
if folks want to follow your initiative, that was the MTBA, is that what you said?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Massachusetts Taxpayer Best Ally. We're getting ready to launch a website, and you can follow me on Facebook, Holly Robichaud, and read me every Monday in the Boston Herald.
And as well, they also listen for the, or watch for the deal report.
The deal report. Well, I'm not in that. That's Jeff Deal.
I know, but I know you kind of, work with that,
yeah,
so.
Yep. Yep.
That's why I was including you.
The Real Deal Report.
Deal Report.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
Well, we're going to have you on. We're going to try to have you on at least once a month and kind of touch base and get the pulse of what's going on up on Bacon Hill.
All right. Happy to do that.
There she is. Holly Robichaud joining us. We're going to step aside just for a moment. And when we come back, we're going to speak with Dr. Kate Roberts. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.